There's no place like home for the heart.
Two friends on the couch of summer nights, horror flicks bringing out the fright, sipping soda, laughing at the scene. Fat boy summer living out a dream. Here we are in the glow of the screen. Just two fat boys living a horror dream. Midnight snacks, popcorn in the air, chasing shadows without a care, cracking jokes, making memories. Late night horror, just you and me. In this golden glowy only night, two fat boys in a summer light, laughing loud through the scary scenes. Handful of chips living out our dreams. With every jump scare we scream and shout. This fat boy summer's what it's all about.
Picture this long open stretch of highway. Dust and dirt cover both sides, cactuses in the background. In the far distance, we see a mountaintop. And this car comes racing up, speeding down the road. It turns, kind of does like one of those cool like emergency brake turns and stops. And sitting inside are two fat boys. And they look at the camera, pull down their sunglasses and say, "It's a fat boy summer. Welcome back to Horror for the Holidays, a Christmas horror movie podcast. I'm Jay Logsdon."
One of the fat boys steps out and sees that someone has been murdered. He looks at the other fat boy and says, "Ooh, looks like a scorcher today, huh?"
Yeah!
Fucking guitar squeal.
The Who.
Explosion for some reason in the background.
Oh. Anyway, Jay, I just wanted to let you know there's no longer any threat to your wife. I answered that call you've been continuously getting, and I sat in Perkins naked and ate 6 cheeseburgers for you.
Oh, sounds... Hey, thanks, bud.
Take one for the team.
Yeah, that's Jeff Searcy, by the way, listeners. If you're unaware, though, we're normally a Christmas horror movie podcast. And it is Fat Boy Summer.
It is Fat Boy Summer,
and we've hit the road. We've been cruising along in our convertible, the top down and the tops are off. We're fat boys.
It's true. We got in our summer shape,
round.
Yes. Similar to our winter shape.
We're taking a road trip this year. Jeff. As I was thinking about this movie, I was like, the road trip might be a 2-year fat boy summer thing, because boy, there's some other good road trip horror movies.
I was gonna say, I think we could probably extend this concept
before we inevitably wind up at summer camp.
Yes.
For fat boy summer camp.
That's where the 2-year road trip was leading us to, was the summer camp.
But this, Jeff, we're hitting the road as we talk about 2001's Joyride.
I think you mean Roadkill, Jay.
Oh, is that an alternate name?
I watched the UK/Australia version. Yeah, it's called Roadkill, which honestly, I think it also works.
Decent name.
Yeah.
Released October 5th, 2001. Directed by John Dahl, who has directed episodes of Justified, Breaking Bad, and Evil.
Justified, ladies and gentlemen. Watch it.
Do you think the reason Walton Goggins is in Justified is because he was in this?
100%, yes.
And he went, "Man, I love the cut of that guy's jib."
I mean, anybody who meets the Gog wants the Gog and more things.
Who doesn't? I fucking love Walton Goggins. Even in a cameo where I don't even think I actually saw him in the movie, but I saw him listed, and I went, Walton Goggins is potentially in this movie.
He was in there somewhere.
Written by Clay Tarver, and who probably wrote the ending and is the only reason this makes sense, because there is also a writing credit for one Mr. J.J. Abrams.
I'll tell you exactly how this went down, Jay. I could tell you. I could see it in my mind, like I'm there. J.J. Abrams throwing out asinine idea after asinine idea.
CB radio, trucker, is chasing these guys down the road.
He pulls a prank on him, but then he thinks, okay, that's fine. But then he thinks they pull the prank on him again because there's a lady, but there's not a lady. And then it ends. And then there's things. And then the other writer's like...
And then Clay Tarver went, "I'll have to figure this out."
Okay, I'll try to work that in. And then J.J. Abrams went off to ruin some other property.
Probably was getting ready to ruin Star Trek or something. Yes. Beloved actor Steve Zahn plays Fuller.
Yes.
As some people know, every Christmas time, the reason for the season is Steve Zahn. Watch a Steve Zahn movie.
Why is he not more beloved of an actor? That's
right?
What I want to know.
He's everything he's in. He's fucking. But I was looking at his credits, and I do think there's a potential that like we just don't watch the things he's in now.
Mm.
Like it does look like there's like a lot of like dramas and stuff kind of mingled in there with like amongst like the comedies and thrillers and stuff like that.
Okay.
And apparently Diary of a Wimpy Kid movies where he plays the dad.
Sure, yeah.
Lily Sobieski is Venna, and we will see both of them again in the Christmas movie, Night Train. Not to be confused with Night Train Murders, which is a different movie. Shortly after, he was in Fast and the Furious. For the first time, Paul Walker is also in this film. He plays Lewis in another car driving movie.
Yes.
I wish this had come out first.
That would
just
be
to be like, before he was driving cars Fast and Furious, he was taking a joyride.
A Ted Levine also in Fast and Furious.
Yep. Basil Wallace, who plays the car salesman, is in Return of the Living Dead 3. Brian Lechner plays Officer Keeney. But we know him best as Deputy Pullman in Jack Frost.
Ooh.
A man who, in a different life, would have referred to Fuller and Lewis as idiots. One Mr. Jim Beaver.
Yes.
Is Sheriff Ritter.
Yes.
And, man, he's only in, like, two scenes, and he's the fucking star of those two scenes.
Again, how is he not more famous? How does he not get more work?
I think I just called him Sheriff Bobby in my notes. Sheriff Bobby's here. Jay Hernandez, who plays Marine, was in the original Thanksgiving trailer.
Mm.
So that was kind of fun. Greg Bronson, with an uncredited role as truck stop patron, will appear again in a couple of weeks when we do Uncle Sam. We've got uncredited appearance for, like I said, one Mr. Walton Goggins, the Gog himself. Monk's boss. Ted Levine,
yes,
beloved Buffalo Bill, is the voice of Rusty Nail, and Matthew Kimbrough is the body of Rusty Nail, because I guess they didn't think Ted Levine was creepy enough.
I guess.
Even though you barely see Rusty Nail, like, it could have just been Ted Levine the whole time.
Yes, they did not need two actors for that.
And I mean, come on, just let Ted Levine get more money. He's great.
They should have.
Budget of $23 million, box office of $36.6 million. Probably didn't make its money back based off of that, but I'm sure has since with streaming and DVD releases probably
I'm sure. Yeah, it probably at least broke even with DVDs.
Something I know Jeff enjoys, filmed in the States where it's supposed to be taking place in, more or less.
Yes, finally
filmed in California, Nevada, and Utah, although I believe they do Wyoming and Nebraska as well, which I didn't see listed as filmed there.
If you do a few shots or whatever, like pickup shots and stuff in other places, that's fine. But if you're going to set a movie in a specific state and then you show a different state while you're making it, it totally pulls us out of the movie.
They go to Nebraska and there's a giant cornfield. This movie got what it was doing.
Yes.
It knows what Nebraska's like.
It's almost like if you tell me a movie, let's say, I don't know, takes place in Dallas, Texas, and then you see a big sign that says Boston in the background.
Oh, I was going to say, takes place in Illinois, and you see mountains and palm trees.
Yes, mountains and green trees at Halloween, yeah.
Or tulips and in Halloween 4. Where to watch?
Buy the 3 movie collection on Vudu like I did. It's only $14.99. You get all 3.
You know what?
Because the first one is worth it alone.
It's worth the you get Joyride for $15. That's a hell of a deal. And you get 2 extra movies.
And you get the extra stuff like the director's commentary and the extra endings. But don't watch them. They suck.
The movies will inevitably drop back on Tubi. Who knows why it moved over to where it is right now, but it will be on for free on Tubi at some point in the future.
Honestly, I think it's just because they think they can get, basically they see the streaming numbers of people watching something on Tubi and they're like, oh, we could probably get a better streaming deal than this, so we're gonna let our rights expire with them, because Tubi doesn't do long-term contracts.
Right.
I think the longest they do is like 6 months, And so they're probably trying to renegotiate, and then no one will give a shit. No one will give them money, and then they'll put it back on Tubi at the original rate.
I got my copies. I got a 2-pack of the first two, and then I got Joyride 3, Roadkill. Separately, I got them all at like half price books, I think, for probably about $15. So.
Man, that must be confusing in the UK. Roadkill 3, Roadkill.
That way there, in case you were confused about what Roadkill 3 was. Personal experience. I'd watched this movie with my wife a couple years ago, but also in a movie group I'm in, somebody had made a joke about the 2023 movie Joyride, but talked about it as though it were this movie.
Yeah.
And so they were like, they said something and they're like, I thought you were talking about this movie. And they're like, well, for that movie, I mean, 2001 Joyride, Steve Zahn rips. And so someone made the poster, but they took out the blurb on the front. Instead, they just put Steve Zahn rips. And I went, fantastic.
Good. Yeah, I had a few of those when I was browsing Reddit for reviews. There's a few people who started off reviewing the 2023 one. Then they're like, oh, wait, oops. I'm like, oh, God.
Oh, love it. Yeah, we do that bit too, but we're allowed to be bad.
We don't do it in print, though. That's the difference.
Yeah. You don't know when we're going to do it because we're goofballs. But when you're reading,
writing it out. God.
Well, you ready to do our synopsis, Jeff?
I suppose. We might as well get into it.
We get our opening credits and title card play as we get like images of CB radios, and we kind of get CB radio chatter and ominous music. We then see Lewis in his dorm room in California talking to Venna on the phone. She has recently broken up with her boyfriend and is in Colorado, and she says she wishes Lewis would pick her up and they could drive back home, and he pulls out his refundable plane ticket and says, I have a car. We then see Lewis at a used car lot where he has, assuming sold his refundable plane ticket.
To get car money.
To get a car, a 1971 Chrysler Newport.
Nice.
We get more opening credits of Lewis driving around. And at a gas station, he calls his mom from a payphone to tell her that he plans to drive back. And she mentions that his brother Fuller was arrested in Utah, and Lewis goes to get him.
Which he should not have done, by the way.
Lewis pays Fuller's bail and enter the star of the movie, Steve Zahn.
Yes.
Star of such movies as Saving Silverman and Night Train. And this.
And this.
And the new Anaconda.
Anaconda.
Fuller and Lewis hit the road and talk about Lewis's relationship with Venna, and Lewis gets pissed off and purposely drives off the road for some reason.
Just what you want to do in an old decrepit car, too.
Later, they are at a truck stop, and Lewis calls Venna and says he'll see her tomorrow, and Fuller is having a CB radio put in Lewis's car for plot reasons.
The pranks, bro.
They're back on the road again, and Fuller is on the CB radio talking with truckers. He's Black Sheep, and Lewis is Mama's Boy. And they hear a mysterious trucker that they start talking to, who's talking about how he enjoys the rain because it keeps people inside and it washes the roads clean. Fuller convinces Lewis to do a woman's voice.
Which he does terribly, by the way.
Oh, it's me, Candy Cane.
Oh, you're so sexy, Rusty Nail.
I love you, Rusty Nail.
Ooh.
I take your bra off. Oh, Rusty Nail. So anyway, we learned that the mysterious trucker's handle is Rusty Nail. Lewis fucks with Rusty, pretending to be Candy Cane, until they lose kind of signal with him. They pull into a motel, and Fuller goes in to get a room where he runs into this real asshole of a guy, who kind of like shoves him aside. And meanwhile, while Fuller is inside, Lewis hears on the CB radio, Rusty Nail comes back on looking for Candy Cane. And Fuller convinces Rusty to kind of basically pull a prank where they will they give him the name of the motel they're staying at, but the room of the asshole guy, and be like, I'll be in room 17.
Break some pink champagne.
And they're like, and Rusty Nail's like, I'll be there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just cranking my hog right now.
Candy Cane, is that you?
Fuller and Lewis's room is next door to the asshole's room, and around midnight, Rusty arrives, gets in some kind of struggle in the room next door, and leaves. We don't really know what happened because they do a great job of, like, not showing us anything in the room. We're just hearing the conversation and, like, kind of hearing the struggle on the other side. Mm-hmm. Fuller or Lewis calls the front desk to kind of alert them that something happened. And you kind of hear Rusty Nail talking when the phone rings. And then the room calls back and just says, he says everything's fine.
Indeed.
And then the truck leaves.
Oh, Jerry, you're not Candy Cane.
The next morning, the cops are investigating about what happened the night before to the piece of shit who we learn is named Ellinghouse. He was found brutalized on the on an interstate median and in a coma. The cops take Fuller and Lewis to the hotel, where we see that Ellinghouse is on a ventilator with his jaw ripped off. They fess up about what happened and enter Sheriff Bobby from Supernatural, and he tells them to get out of Wyoming before sundown, the idiots.
That's right.
Fuller and Lewis have a fight about Ellinghouse's condition, and Lewis says he's just going to leave Fuller in Denver.
Just do what I do. Just say you'll be dead in 100 years. Doesn't matter.
I mean, that's a good philosophy. Back on the road, they hear Rusty still looking for Candy Cane.
I need Candy Cane.
They confess and tell him that it was just a joke, and Rusty says, you really ought to have that fixed. And they say, what fixed? And he says,
the tail.
Your tail light. And they freak out and abruptly kind of like pull off the road, fighting a gas station. Fuller fills up while Lewis goes inside to call Sheriff Bobby because they know where Rusty Nail is.
Yes. Best spooky line in the movie, by the way, the tail light.
I love that line. While filling up this giant truck with like ice printed on the side, like the classic. Mm-hmm. You've seen the logo, listener, at like a gas station with like the ice coolers outside. Ice is printed on the side, and the truck pulls in. Fuller and Lewis are convinced that that's Rusty Nail. Which, why would he be driving like the most conspicuous truck?
That's kind of what I was wondering. It's like he sounds obviously like he's some kind of independent trucker, so he wouldn't really be driving a branded truck anyway. But yeah, the ice truck, I don't think would be his choice if he was a violent psycho murderer.
Lewis quickly pays for the gas, and then they hurry and drive down the road, convinced that that Rusty Nail, the ice truck driver, is following them as he kind of chases Lewis out the front door. And then he speeds after them down the road, and they wind up turning down a dead end, and they're cornered, and the ice truck driver gets out, walks up, and he's like, and you get this great moment where Fuller goes like, I've got a gun, and he's just holding his hand like a gun.
Yes.
And then the trucker goes, or like the ice truck driver goes, and I've got your MasterCard. And it turns out Lewis had left his credit card at the gas station. He was so scared.
I knew it was going to be something like that. Like, you dropped your wallet.
They calm down, and the ice truck gets turned around to leave just for Rusty Nail's semi to come crash through the ice truck and chases them. Lewis outmaneuvers him briefly, but then gets the car stuck, and Rusty slowly drives into the side of the car, crushing it between a tree and the front of his semi. When Fuller finally gets on the CB and apologizes, and Rusty laughs and says, oh, just a prank, okay. It just leaves.
Yes. And that is technically the resolution to the movie, if the later thing does not happen.
The next day, they're able to get the car repaired, and Fuller throws the CB radio out onto the road.
Also, vastly overestimating the durability of a semi when he crashes through that ice truck and then just keeps going like nothing happened.
They pick up Venna, and she introduces them to her roommate, Charlotte, who tells them to have a good summer. And the three of them drive off, seemingly forgetting about Rusty Nail.
Venna introduces them to her roommate, Charlotte, who has a regular name. That's not Venna.
That's not Venna or Fuller.
Yes. Where are these names coming from? Who named these people?
I assume J.J. Abrams. He was getting ready to name Gulp Shitto for the new Star Wars movie.
Yeah. Babu Frick.
They stop at a motel and get drunk at the bar, almost get in a fight with more truckers, and then go up to their rooms and turn in for the night.
Oh, Jay, I thought there was no lady.
Lewis turns in for the night. Fuller and Venna drink some more in her room and kind of flirt with each other. And then Lewis is awoken by the phone ringing. And on the line is Rusty Nail saying, "If there is no candy cane, then whose room is Fuller in?"
Ooh.
They speed off and Fuller sees spray painted on the signs, "Look in the trunk." But Jeff, that could be for anybody.
Literally anybody.
That means Rusty Nail, one, knew what direction they were driving in, and two, was able to spray paint this, and no one else driving down the road thought, is this for me?
No police either. So, hey, somebody's been spray painting all these signs.
So they go and they open the trunk and they find a new CB radio inside.
Oh.
They drive with the CB radio on, and Rusty tells them, Rusty taunts them, and then they're able to hear Venna's roommate Charlotte on the CB, and he tells them to go to the state line truck stop in the morning. The next morning, he radios them and tells Fuller and Lewis to go into the truck stop naked and order 6 cheeseburgers each.
Wow, that's what that guy told me to do.
So they know what it feels like to be the butt of a joke.
I was like, oh, so you want me to do what I normally do, but naked. Fine, I guess.
So you're on the receiving end of a prank this time.
Yes.
The
killer's motivations really fall apart halfway through the movie, Jay.
Rusty then tells Venna that if they want to see Charlotte again, they have to do what he says. They go to a stretch of road at night, and Rusty tells them to get out and walk. And they are suddenly chased by Rusty in a semi-truck through a cornfield. And Jeff, I have a question. Do you think the next morning, the farmer who owned this cornfield was like, crop circles?
Yes. Aliens.
Aliens. They all get separated, and Rusty is able to somehow find the one person he's able to find is Venna. Convenient. And he hauls her away in the truck and drives off.
Man, we should really look into who makes this truck that he's using, because it should be all truckers driving this thing.
Lewis and Fuller hear Venna screaming for help on the CB radio, and they find their car on fire, and Rusty Nail tells them to meet him at the next hotel, the next town's hotel at midnight, room 17, and to bring a bottle of pink champagne.
Ooh.
They find a bar and hotwire a guy's car, and you get this moment where you think the guy who's walking out of the bar is the guy who owns the truck, yeah. But instead he tries to basically help them hotwire the car. What
guy's doing there?
and he's like, oh, you gotta give it a second.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, thanks, and they get the car that they just hotwired and drive away, and then another dude comes running out of the, hey, that's my truck.
Yes.
One of my favorite moments of the whole movie.
Honestly, in a lot of ways, more of a comedy than a horror movie.
Rusty tapes Venna to a chair and sets up some kind of trap where when they open the door, the shotgun will go off and shoot Venna. Rusty calls the cops to report some dead bodies. And they reach a room, but Venna's not in it. And they do this thing where there's like 4 different hotels, mm-hmm. and so they have to go to each one. So you get like all these different characters answering the door to the hotel rooms. And then they go to room 17, and they're like, oh, Venna's not in this room. And then the phone rings, and it's a Rusty, and he basically kind of taunts Lewis on the phone. Basically more or less spelling out that he's actually next door. Picture, I'm just right next to you.
What you guys did to me.
And basically like, oh, were you expecting someone else? Just like I was expecting candy cane.
Mm-hmm.
Fuller goes around back to try and sneak in, but Rusty pops up and grabs him and basically says to watch this as Lewis goes to answer the door, but Fuller is able to fight him off briefly to alert Lewis not to open the door, but falls out the window and lands on some rebar that goes straight through his leg. And then Rusty Nail takes Fuller and pins him to a fence. The cops arrive, finding the body of the hotel manager, and Rusty is getting to run Fuller over with his semi-truck in the back of the hotel. And none of the cops hear this semi-truck rubbing up in the field out back.
Not a single one.
Lewis is able to pull Fuller down and then goes back in and is able to save Venna. also maybe in a movie full of suspension of disbelief moments, maybe the most unbelievable thing is a shotgun going off and the cops not immediately firing into the room.
Yeah, I was gonna say that would definitely, at least a few of them would have popped off at that point.
Lewis leads the cops to where Fuller is about to get run over. The cops unload their guns into the truck, but it just plows through the wall, through the fence, and then through the back wall of the hotel and into the hotel. But everyone is able to get out of the way. Inside the truck, the cops find a body and in the driver's seat, and Charlotte kind of like tied up in the passenger seat. Everyone gets checked on by EMTs, and Lewis asks who the driver was, and they say, some guy who drives an ice truck out in Wyoming. And then over the CB radio, they hear Rusty Nail saying he's looking forward to the incoming storm, that it washes everything clean. Credits roll. End of movie. Joyride.
Joyride.
What a joyride. What a breeze of a movie.
Yep.
I saw, and we'll get to it because I have it for one of my reviews. I saw people complaining about, like, oh, this movie drags. And I'm like, in what world does this movie drag? This movie flies by. Jeff, what category do you want to start? Do you have anything else first, I guess?
No, I think we covered it pretty well. I just, like I commented briefly, a lot more of a comedy than I expected.
I assume part of that is down to the Steve Zahn being in it. I saw that Tobey Maguire was offered a role. I don't know if he was offered Steve Zahn's role or if he was offered Paul Walker's role.
I'm guessing he was probably offered Paul Walker's.
But like, I'm like, I wonder if they initially were like, oh, it's going to be more serious, and then just Steve Zahn has such great comedic timing.
Well, that, and I mean, Rusty Nail himself is kind of funny overall.
Oh, Ted Levine has some great line deliveries. Let's do it. CB chatter, favorite quotes.
All right. Let me just get on the CB here and give you some of these.
Oh, it's me, Rusty Nail. I'm looking for candy cane. Vaguely, that's what's said for a large chunk of the movie. Candy cane, are you there?
All right, take off your bra.
Oh, really?
That was too good.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Oh, really, Rusty Nail?
There you go. That's closer.
It's me, a sexy lady named Candy Cane. Mm-hmm. Officer Wilkins, this is my pledge to you. You will not be seeing me again. Two strikes are enough for Fuller Thomas.
Hey, you came all the way to Salt Lake for me? Well, technically, you still are my brother.
Jeff, Jeff and listeners, almost all of my quotes are things that Steve Zahn says.
I figured.
Hey, you look tall. Taller than me, Fuller.
The iconic one we talked about earlier. You're an old black sheep. You really ought to get that fixed. Get what fixed? Your tail light.
So good. Oh my God. That's one of those, even though it's not like a scare, like just the tension that line builds is so good. So, you still good, or do you need me to drive? And then Lewis goes, no more bullshit small talk about my relationship or my relationship or my car.
Oh, this is an exchange when they're in the bar. I think it's supposed to be the bar in Nebraska between the hillbilly and Steve Zahn. Let me recite it for you. I said, is this your bitch? Because if this is your bitch, you better shut your bitch up. Steve Zahn. Bitch, are you mouthing off again? I'm sorry, man. It's just hard to keep him in line nowadays.
Steve Zahn just runs. the trucker hillbillies are getting ready to fight Lewis. And then Steve Zahn just walks up and just immediately interjects. And it's so good.
Yes.
When the guy who is Steve Zahn talking to the guy who's installing the CB radio. Downsizing? Gas company just lets a talented man like you go just like that? Well, that sucks. But this job kicks ass, huh? You got your trailer here, and now you're working kind of outside? You got a view? It was just one of those things where I'm like, Steve Zahn's one of the few guys who I think could like pull off lines like that.
Another Steve Zahn. You know, with the exception of the seat spring piercing my ass, this ride's excellent.
When Rusty Nail like asks what candy cane looks like, or it's like the, oh, I take my bra off.
Mm-hmm.
Fuller goes, ha ha, I knew it. These guys are so fucking horny. When they're in the bar, Steve Zahn calls Lily Sobieski a bitch. Here's two. And then Venna goes, Nebraska. And then Steve Zahn goes, to states. All right.
All right. Another Steve Zahn. This is like some kind of prehistoric internet.
And then my last one is when Paul Walker is like, how am I going to live with myself? Because like they have this whole conversation about like, if you prank called a ton of pizzas to a house and then a guy answered the door with an AK-47 and killed the pizza delivery guy, would you feel guilty for that? And Paul Walker is like, I would, you know, I don't know how I'm going to live with myself. And then Steve Zahn says, do what I do. Just remind yourself that in 100 years, you're going to be dead. It's the closest thing I've got to philosophy. Because Fuller's not one of them college boys like his brother Lewis.
Exactly.
That's my last one.
Oh, yeah. It was Steve Zahn's rant before he does the taillight line. Let me see. Oh, yeah, there it is. No, listen, you sick fuck, you pathetic, lonely, walkie-talkie freak show motherfucker. You're not getting anything from me. Know why? Because I have something that's more powerful than your psychosis. It's called a volume knob. And the only thing I have to do to make you go away is turn that counterclockwise. You got that? You copy that?
That's a great one. I didn't get the other one, but he has another one where he's like, you don't need a psychologist, you need a psychiatrist, you need drugs. Like,
yes. Oh yeah, Rusty Nail. Apologize.
God, Rusty Nail's so good.
Apologize to me, Jay.
Apologize to me, Candy Cane.
Hey, anybody know Candy Cane? Come back.
Jeff, let's see the sights, sets, costumes, etc. I love both the setting and the sets for this movie. I love the idea of just like long empty stretches of highway, like you know, kind of driving through the desert in those areas, or you know, we're so used to driving through the middle of cornfields, like you kind of get scenes of that towards the end of the movie.
Yes, they definitely make it feel like an isolated road trip experience. And all the roadside things like the bars and the motels and stuff, I thought were well done.
I was going to say, listeners and you, Jeff, know that I'm a sucker for neon lighting, and there's a lot of neon lighting in this movie. Probably my last and biggest shout out. There are very few who can do a creepy voice better than Ted Levine.
Yes.
He does such a good job in this movie. Like we both said at the beginning, why is he not just Rusty Nail? Like, why is he only the voice?
He should be.
Unless, that was the thing too. I think on my first watch, I thought there was going to be some kind of twist where like, oh no, like Rusty Nail is these two guys working together or something, which then fed into my theory later on. In the next two movies, it's not Ted Levine doing the voice. It's different actors in each movie. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, is Rusty Nail like a Dread Pirate Roberts? Basically he, you know, a trucker kind of assumes the identity of Rusty Nail, and that's when he's going to go on a killing spree or whatever.
Yes. Take on the mantle of Rusty Nail and ask women to take off their bra.
I take off your bra.
Would
you do me? I'd do me. Goodbye Horses is playing in the background.
Yes.
I wonder if they thought, like, do you think we could get Goodbye Horses for one scene where Rusty Nail's talking?
That would be amazing.
That would have been the one thing I would have pounded the table for.
Yes.
Jeff, let's do a busted taillight, one thing you would fix, and one headlight, one thing you would praise.
One headlight, the Wallflower song?
Yeah, that was
Bob
what I was,
Dylan's son.
That's what I was going for.
And also, how the hell does Bob Dylan's son sing so much better than his dad?
It's a good question. my fix the weird love triangle thing with Fuller, Lewis, and Venna. The wiki article like muddles it further because like they didn't know what they wanted to do with the three of them. I'm gonna pull up what the Wikipedia article kind of says. Sobieski filmed two romantic interludes, one with Zahn, hubba hubba, and one with Walker, boo, during the shooting and reshooting of the film. Both scenes end up getting cut. This may explain why Venna appears to be romantically interested in both of them.
Mm.
And it's just so weird. Like, just, we don't need that at all. Like honestly, just have her be Paul Walker's girlfriend. Like, I
thought we were just dealing with the classic thruple situation myself, but you know, you never know.
I was like, the first time I watched it, I was like, this is so weird. And then I read that and I went, it makes sense why this feels so weird.
It just pans over to Paul Walker's dashboard and there's a neon pineapple there.
Upside down on
the U-swing.
what's your busted taillight?
My busted taillight, Jay? My busted taillight is, this movie really needed a supporting character other than Rusty Nail. Like an authority figure, maybe like, I don't know, a Jim Beaver sheriff and more of a role, or
yeah, more Bobby,
like a state trooper, or maybe like an FBI guy that's been tracking this Rusty Nail guy or whatever. It needed some kind of third character to kind of make some of these things seem more realistic. Either that or maybe like a character, maybe have Venna come into the movie earlier. And have her set up as, because I like the brothers, but some of these scenes and stuff are really, really dumb with just the two of them with no outside explanation of how this is happening.
Yeah, have Venna be doing the candy cane thing earlier on, so you kind of...
Yes, because if Paul Walker was able to do a better woman voice, that would also be more believable, but it's like, I mean, I'm sure Rusty Nail, Ted Levine's been lonely out there a long time, but I don't even know if he would buy that voice that he was doing. So I think a third central character, whether it's like an authority figure or maybe just have Venna show up earlier on, would have probably made this less hard to believe.
I think that's a great shout. I think, having Sheriff Bobby be like more involved in the movie would be more interesting. And then you like do a thing where they're like, oh, we're supposed to meet him here, and they find him dead. And like, it turns out like somehow Rusty has been listening into like all the conversations.
Yeah. So that would have been a cool twist too. Turns out Rusty Nail used to be a cop or whatever, and so he's listening to all the cop frequencies.
That would be cool. Yeah. what's your one headlight? The thing you want to praise?
My one headlight.
You could drive hard.
My one headlight is, of course, I'm assuming Jay already knows this, but Rusty Nail, Ted Levine. I mean, how can you go wrong casting him as a creep in a movie? The answer is you can't. He does this perfectly. He is, for a character you very rarely ever see in the movie, incredibly menacing, and about the only menacing thing about the movie. Even when the brothers try to act scared, they don't really seem like they are, which that we'll get into that later. I mean, when we do our final rating.
It's comedic actor Steve Zahn is the most comedic.
But no, I thought Ted Levine's performance was really good. His voice on the radio, especially the way that he like modulates it for different situations, which is still wild that he's not even credited for this.
Like, do you think he was ashamed of this, or do you think it's just something else?
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's around that time, because I mean, a lot of actors used to not take voice acting seriously. They would do things or whatever and just not be credited on the project. But I don't know. It's a mystery, but yes, his performance, I would say, makes this movie worth watching just on its own.
Everyone knows where I'm fucking going. Steve Zahn.
As soon as I saw he was in this, I'm like, well, I know Jay's going with Steve Zahn, so I better figure out something else.
I think this movie would be great if he wasn't in it. I still think this movie would be a lot of fun. Like, Ted Levine does a lot of the carrying for the things that aren't the Steve Zahn things.
Yes.
And it's the two of them together, but I fucking love Steve Zahn goddamn much.
I mean, the movie would have worked without him, but it's better with him.
Like, I even think you get like maybe a more famous, but like I think you could get a Paul Rudd to be Steve Zahn, and I think he would do a good job. Yeah. But I think if you got like a Saving Silverman cast member, a Jason Biggs or a Jack Black, I would just be too goofy. Steve Zahn's the right amount of like charming and witty, but also goofy and a little silly, that like he just sells it so much better than like I don't think like a Jack Black or a Jason Biggs, both people that were in movies with Steve Zahn at this time, they would just struggle to be this charismatic.
See, I was thinking this for whatever reason, because I still think about this movie all the time. There's another early 2000s road trip movie with Robert Downey Jr. and Zach Galifianakis called Due Date.
Okay.
And this, some of the scenes in this made me think of Due Date. I'm like, I wonder what this would be like with Zach Galifianakis instead.
Well, Jeff, you got me straight tripping, boo. How road trippy is this movie, and how road trippy are the kills? I just had to. I had it.
Yeah.
Fucking love Eugene Levy. Sorry.
Yes.
This is just me talking about comedic actors I enjoy. How road trip is this movie? How road trip are the kills?
I mean, the kills are mostly with a vehicle, so pretty road trippy, and with a semi, no less. So I mean, that's even more road trippy. What do you see more on the road than that?
Right.
And, I mean, the entire movie is based around a road trip. So, I mean, it pretty much has to be top of the road trip list.
I agree with both. It's one of those where it's like, I don't know what a more road trip kill would be. I think we get some more, like, as these movies go on, I believe they get a little more Saw-like. I think they took him building the trap for Venna in the room as like a, Rusty Nail likes to build traps. And is a Jigsaw type character, because I think Roadkill, Joyride 3 Roadkill, Roadkill 3 Roadkill.
Yeah.
I do think that one has a lot of like trap kind of based kills, like a little bit more like a Jigsaw.
Yeah.
And I don't remember if those are more like, I think they're more truck aligned, and so it's like, while I think that could be more road trippy themed kills, like this is a pretty good barometer of like, are you like this or more than you're very road trippy? Oh, are you less like this and more, who knows, something else? I think even The Hitcher could be maybe like a road trip style movie or kill, but it's like there's some movies where you'd go, oh, that's not very road trippy. Like, this is kind of like the good, like this is the barometer you have to reach.
The gold standard of road trip movies.
Well, Jeff, it's time for our final rating. Every episode of Horror for the Holidays, we rate our movie on one of three categories. But it is Fat Boy Summer, and we're on a road trip. So, Jeff, is this movie a flat tire? Is this movie, this one was the one I struggled with, riding shotgun? Or is it King of the Road? Jeff. We can workshop riding shotgun if that one's... That one was the one I was least confident about.
Picking the radio station? I don't know. What's fun on a road trip?
What is fun on a road trip?
Getting
snacks?
Yeah, that's pretty fun.
And we are fat boys.
Listening to podcasts, we did some of that.
Stopping at Wendy's.
Yeah, stopping at Wendy's and stopping at Steak and Shake. All right, well, I don't know. It was hilarious, whatever one they were going with for that.
Riding shotgun.
The middle. We're riding shotgun, ladies and gentlemen. We're going with it. We're riding shotgun on this road trip. And it's fun. This movie is fun. It is not scary. It's very, very not scary, I would say, in most parts. There's a couple things, like we said, that build tension. It's more of a thriller, honestly, than
It is more thriller than horror.
Yeah.
Which, I mean... I think you can split hairs calling a movie a thriller or a horror sometimes.
This, it's more like on the, which funnily enough, another movie that's a thriller slash horror. This is more on the Silence of the Lambs end of things than it is on like, say, a Saw end of things. Where it's more close to a regular movie that just happens to have some scary elements versus a horror movie that happens to have some regular elements. And honestly, it's not done a disservice by being put in that category, because it's just, I mean, everything Jay said about Steve Zahn pretty much makes this movie the way it is.
He's so great. For me, this is a King of the Road. I think there are some I think there's like some real excellent like tension building kind of scares, kind of moments, reveals. Even the gore when you see the dude with his jaw ripped off.
Yeah,
like,
that's not bad.
The kind of one of those unexpected moments where you're just like, oh, I wasn't expecting the movie to go in this direction all of a sudden. And at times I think this movie does a lot, does more with less. Where, you know, it, how scary or how tension filled can a movie be when there's a lot of time spent in cars and motel rooms, but then you get the scene where, you know, Rusty Nail's killing the dude in the next room, but like, you can't really tell what's going on because it's all muffled and whatnot, which I think just kind of helps like add to some of that tension. But it's a really fun story, that is carried by a great cast, especially shout outs to Steve Zahn and Ted Levine, but Lily Sobieski does a really solid job, and I mean, Paul Walker's fine. While you do need to suspend disbelief
greatly
for a lot of stuff in this movie, it's just a fun time. It flies by. I think this is a movie I recommend to the people who would say like, oh, you have to suspend some disbelief. I mean, the FBI believes there's between 25 and 50 serial killers driving the road currently, active serial killers driving the roads today. A lot of them truckers. I guess you don't have to potentially suspend disbelief that hard.
No, I wouldn't. That part of the movie doesn't bother me. Some of the other parts do, like the indestructible truck.
Yeah. did we? I think we talked about it off the air. The alternate endings.
Oh yeah. Oh my god.
Where they find Rusty Nail's semi truck. I think he's not in the truck, but they find his trailer full of bodies.
Yes, he's got a whole like hundreds, it sounded like, of bodies. Or there's one where he gets into a big shootout with the cops and the truck explodes because, you know, everything explodes in movies.
But I was like, if there's a bunch of bodies in his tractor trailer, there are scenes where they are just being chased by the semi itself, which means he's just disconnecting a tractor trailer full of bodies. Glad they didn't go with that ending. That would have been really stupid.
Indeed.
I'm just going to leave this smelly tractor trailer sitting by the side of the road and just hope no cops pull up and check it out.
No one would question it, I'm sure, the horrible stench of all those rotting bodies.
Well, Jeff, we're driving down the road here, and I see a tourist trap up ahead. I think we're going to have to do tourist trap next year. Maybe we're wrong. I don't know. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, we're not, but I guess we could look at some reviews anyway. As everyone knows, I'm the only real movie critic that exists on Earth.
1 out of 10. Total crap! 3 exclamation points. Am I really the first who will say this? This movie is total crap. I'm sure you're not. I'm sick of all these original ideas repeated over and over again, which together with the low budget and no idea for the plot lead to such a thing as Joyride. Of course, everything in the formula of buddy/teen movie. I don't know why I still believe I can see a decent thriller. Maybe 1 out of 100 is worth watching. This one certainly isn't. I've just wasted 1.5 hours of my life. In many opinions, you say that it's not original, logical, etc., but generally okay. What's okay here? Every single scene could be watched in other movies. For example, trick with gun and door was used thousands of times, once in Texas Ranger, 3 exclamation points. All of us can write such a plot. I don't think you can, because you can barely string sentences together.
Okay. All of us can write such a plot.
If you have no idea, just watch some episodes of the most stupid crime series and the idea will come. There were thousands of similar boring, stupid cliche movies. So why the hell there is 1001? this guy could write this movie.
Yes.
They should have other ideas how to spend these money.
Yes.
1 out of 10.
I agree. They should have other ideas how to spend these money.
Complains about how much money they spent on the movie, but then also says low budget.
Yep. He didn't use the budget on the right things. He had to translate from moron to regular.
God, that one was painful to read.
The Highway to Nowhere.
Oh.
0 stars. Here we go. Joyride is what happens when someone watches Duel, The Hitcher, and every Don't Prank Strangers After School special, then decides to make the most aggressively mid version possible. We got a zoomer here, folks, with the mid.
I will say dual, yeah. It's that dual and Hitcher I called out. Yeah, this does have kind of both of those.
Paul Walker plays a college kid whose defining personality trait is owns car.
Have you not seen a single other Paul Walker movie? Yeah. That's what he's best at, is owning car.
Exactly. Steve Zahn plays his brother, whose defining personality trait is should have been left in jail.
Defining personality trait is best character in movie.
Together, they commit one of the dumbest and most unbelievable pranks in thriller history, and the movie wants us to spend the next 90 minutes feeling scared for them instead of asking why every character in this film shares one collective brain cell and keeps passing it around like a gas station burrito. Rusty Nail is supposed to be terrifying, but half the time he feels like a trucker-themed Batman villain whose superpower is always knowing exactly where these idiots are. He can apparently teleport across state lines, intercept every route, predict every decision, and rig motel room death traps like he's the Saw franchise's long-haul cousin. The movie builds suspense by having people make the worst possible choices every 5 minutes. Don't use the phone. They don't go to the police properly. They don't leave town. They don't stop provoking the psycho trucker. They don't behave like anyone who's ever experienced fear, logic, or object permanence. By the end, Joyride becomes less a thriller and more a punishment for owning the movie. 0 stars. The scariest thing in this movie is realizing this entire situation could have been avoided if Steve Zahn's character could possibly shut up for 10 seconds.
That's why we love him so much. Here's what, Jeff, do you want another incomprehensible one?
Yes.
Based solely off the title of the review?
Do it.
10-100 fast. I don't know how anyone other than a hostage sitting on some sort of explosive device under duress could give this a 10. The flaws, outright stupidity, beyond terrible acting, and insomnia?
Yes.
The classic insomnia of Joyride made getting to the end of this shocker more than decade-long event.
Yes.
10 to 100 fast.
Yes. All right, you ready for this?
Yep.
This movie is basically, what if two dumbasses discovered consequences? I swear Joyride is one of those movies where the entire plot only happens because every character treats basic survival instincts like optional DLC. The brothers prank a random trucker. Trucker turns out to be insane, and instead of the movie becoming a tight thriller, it becomes a 97-minute documentary about people refusing to make a normal decision. Paul Walker is fine, I guess, in the fact that he's here and he's not dead. He reacts to things. Steve Zahn is doing all the heavy lifting.
Hells yeah, he is.
But unfortunately, his character is so obnoxious that after 10 minutes, I was rooting for Rusty Nail and the CB radio to self-destruct. Rusty Nail, great voice, but somehow omnipotent. He's like a supernatural highway goblin. He knows where everyone is at all times. He can set up elaborate traps with his truck. He stalks multiple people across multiple locations. He has logistical abilities of Amazon Prime and the emotional regulation of a toddler. The movie keeps acting like it's tense, but it's only tense because the characters keep putting themselves into dangerous situations like they're speedrunning Darwin Awards. The final act wants to be terrifying, but you're just exhausted from people discovering that, hey, maybe pranking strangers on the radio is a bad idea. Not a joyride. More like a dumb parade.
That's a good description of our podcast. Not a joyride. More like a dumb parade. Oh, here come the two dumb fat guys.
Oh, boy.
This is my last one.
Boom, 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 boom.
The worst film ever.
Oh, come
one on. Of your favorites.
Come on now.
This is definitely in my all-time worst top five.
This is no American Scream.
All which is good about it is that I thankfully saw it for free after my unfortunate mate brought it. I assume they're British or Australian. So they are actually reviewing Roadkill, not Joyride.
Either that or they're saying mate as in their wife slash husband. It's hard to say.
2 hours, which this is not 2 hours, of endless boredom, totally unscary, amazingly bad film. The acting isn't believable. The plot is just diabolical. How does somebody come up with something so unbelievable and contrived that within 20 minutes of starting the film, all I could think was, should I turn it off now? How I wish I'd gone with that gut instinct. Well, I mean, to answer how someone comes up with this, their name is J.J. Abrams. Yeah. Candy Cane. Oh, for the love of God, shut up. There is nothing good about this film. Save yourself money. Don't watch it. Don't buy it.
Nice.
That's it. That's about my last one.
All right. I saved the best for last, as usual. Ahem. It Dumb. 1 out of 10. This movie was very dumb. I watched it. I didn't get anything out of it. Everything in it was dumb. Paul Walker is dumb.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Steve Zahn is dumb.
Go fuck yourself.
The turd. So quick. Trucker Man, dumb.
I mean, half of the part that's not Ted Levine, sure, why not?
Girlfriend, dumb. Everybody, dumb.
Whoa. How dare you say that about Jim Beaver?
Decisions make no sense.
I mean, I will say they're dumb like college kids. Decisions make no sense when you're a dumb college kid.
Truck never blow up.
Truck never blow up.
Truck never blow up, Jay. No matter what happened to truck, truck never blow up. And, of course, to finish us off, why end the way it is?
Words to live by.
Yes.
Why end the way it is?
I thought I was reading like a haiku from somebody who was having a stroke when I read this review, so I thought I had to bring it on there.
Why end
the way
the way... it is. That's words to live by.
Yes. That's going to become part of Fatboy Summer.
the convertible we're driving now has a bumper sticker that says, why end the way it is?
And yes, that's it. That's a 1 out of 10 review.
I love it.
It dumb.
It dumb. However, once again, go fuck yourself, Steve Zahn, to this movie. Jeff, we're pulling into a diner here. We're sitting at a table on our road trip, and Rusty Nail walked in. How close would you want him to sit next to us at the diner?
I mean, probably right next to us, because I'm not going to prank him and get his attention on me, so pretty sure I'd be safe. And he doesn't seem all that threatening, really, without his semi. So I guess unless he's going to follow us back out onto the road.
And neither of us are a candy cane.
Yes.
Oh, hey there, Rusty Nail.
Oh, hey there, Rusty. How are you?
I didn't know what to do with all three of our movies this year are all Rusty Nail.
I mean,
I'm like, I don't really know what to do with a naughty list.
I mean, he's basically a semi.
he's not a killer even a semi.
Guy. Yes. If he was a possessed semi, that's how we would put him on the list. And I mean, he's fairly dangerous, I would say. I mean, obviously he's psychotic. Obviously he's obsessed to the point of, you know, wanting to fucking track these guys for no particular reason other than he fell for a dumb prank.
You know what I will say? At least we never get to I Know What You Did Last Summer 3 in this where it is a possessed semi-truck.
Yes. No, I would say if we're putting him up against other things on the Fatboy Summer tier list, probably pretty low.
Yeah. Maybe he could take the grabber.
Maybe.
It'd be tough. Yeah. But nope. Yeah, he's not handling zombies.
No.
And what was the other thing we did? Frogmen. He's not handling frogmen.
Oh, no, there's no way he's handling frogmen.
I'm ready for Frogman too. Frogman fucks.
Yes.
Well, Jeff, we're leaving this gas station, I ran in and I got some soda because it's time for this.
Garbage day.
Fat Boy Summer, Season of Soda.
Garbage Day, etc.
Garbage Day, Fat Boy Summer Edition.
Jeff, we've got Mr. Pibb punching Peach.
Ooh. You're punching it.
And notice, it's Mr. Pibb. It's not some hoity-toity doctor.
Oh, thank you.
I got you some dirty do. I know you're a dirty boy, Candy Cane.
I'm a dirty dog, all right.
And last but not least, Crimson Sour Cherry Fanta.
Oh, Diablo 4.
Okay.
That's the promotional.
I had no idea what it was. I was looking at this. I'm like, I don't know what any of this means.
That makes sense. It's supposed to be like blood.
Or maybe a health potion.
Maybe.
Yeah. Where do you want to start?
Let's just do the dirty do.
All right.
Hitting the dirty do.
Oh, these do's are so dirty. I got you zero sugar.
Yes. Well, that's good anyway. That way we could try both and see if they're any good. Smells good.
It smells creamy.
Yeah.
Not the kind of cream that Rusty Nail wants to shoot all over his cap.
Dirty do, is that you? I take your bra.
That's for me, Rusty Nail, dirty do.
Meh.
I don't know what I think of that.
It's kind of weird taste.
It's heavy on the cream soda flavor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not getting much of the lemon lime of Mountain Dew.
No. It tastes basically just like, honestly, not much different than like the Dr. Pepper cream sodas that they have.
I don't hate it. Have you gotten any of the dirty sodas at Taco Bell, like the dirty Baja Blast?
I like the dirty Baja Blast. I like the dirty Dr. Pepper that they do at McDonald's now. That one's pretty good.
Might have to check those out. Do you want to do Fanta Sour Cherry?
Sure. Let's drink the Diablo.
Ooh, I like that cherry smell.
That is a good cherry. Not as cherry tasting as it is cherry smelling.
Yeah, I don't know that I would call it, I would probably call it like tart cherry instead of sour cherry.
Yeah, I'm not getting sour.
Not bad. I am enjoying that Fanta's putting out more like original flavors and stuff.
I mean, I like it more than the Dirty Do, I think, but I don't know if I love it.
Well, Jeff, last but not least, we're paying our old pal, Mr. Piv, a visit.
Let's talk to a mister, ladies and gentlemen. You've been to the doctor. Now here's the mister.
Ooh, I got punched by that peach. Ooh, right in the kisser.
Oh, God, my nose.
Ooh, now that's peach flavor.
Yeah. I think this easily beats the other two.
Well, welcome back, Mr. Pibb. Fantastic drink you got here. Well, solid drink you got here.
Kicking cherry meets punching peach.
I think there is a... because Pibb is cherry flavored or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cherry soda or whatever they call this.
Apparently the base of it is cherry or whatever. One of the a million secret flavors.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I like that. This might be my... Smooth. One of my new favorite drinks. Like this is pretty tasty.
This could be a drink of the summer, a fat boy summer.
Yeah, I agree with your rating. Summer soda, Dirty Dew bottom, Fanta Crimson Sour Cherry middle, and then Punch and Peach Mr. Pibb
top. It's top.
All right, it's agreed.
All right,
shake on it. All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, tell us your thoughts on candy cane or some kind of primitive internet, but also the actual internet, because we're not on CB radio.
Hey listener, I take your bra off.
Oh my. Send us an email, horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com. Get in touch with us on social media. We are all the places at horror4holidays. That's horror, the number 4 holidays.
YouTube.com/horrorfortheholidays. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell. Hit the thumbs up. Do all the things. Listen to us. The podcatchers. Rate us 5 stars. It's the only way we're going to read your rating. And put 0 stars if I could, so we know you're a real sicko who's listening to the Fat Boy Summer.
And then put, I took Jandruff's bra off.
If you want us to know specifically that you listened to this episode of Fat Boy Summer, tell us that you took our bra off. And for the record, I only use that for walking upstairs.
I only use bras to get out of dumpsters that I'm stuck in. Hey, we're bringing it back.
Hey, there we go. Back to the Beast of Walton Street.
Where's that brace when I stayed on Walton Street?
We're proud to be part of the Christmas Podcast Network. Hey,
Jerry D, I took your bra off.
Well, if Jerry, next time we're on a Totally Rad Christmas, we're gonna take Jerry D's bra off.
Yes.
Hopefully, I'm hoping at some point before we hit Spooktacular time, we might be able to do a crossover episode of our own. We'll do Naughty List of Mr. Scrooge.
Ooh, that could be fun.
With Colin over he does a Scrooge podcast. I forget the name off the top of my head right now.
Scrooged with Bill Murray.
Just all Scrooged all the time. But no, hopefully we can have Colin on and we can talk about that.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
But yeah, go check him out. All sorts of great podcasts over there. I'm sure none of them are talking about Joyride. So we are special in our own special way.
Jay, a shockingly small amount of people are saying anything about Joyride anywhere. In fact, it was a struggle to find some reviews of Joyride.
They're all saying, I love Steve Zahn so much. You gotta wade through all of those reviews, which have all been left by me under various accounts.
I wondered that. There's a similar writing style shared between a lot of these accounts.
10 out of 10. Steve Zahn. Hells yes. 10 out of 10. I mean, God, Steve Zahn's so cool.
I mean, Jay, closing every post with Steve Zahn is the reason for the season.
gave it away. Shit. we'll be back. Fatboy Summer. We're cruising down the road and we're going to do Joyride 2 Dead Ahead.
Dead Ahead.
Next week.
Dead Ahead, you say?
Dead Ahead. It's me, Candy. Wait, it's me, Rusty Nail. Candy Cane, are you Dead Ahead? And I believe in Joyride 2, there is a guy who hates truckers because his dad was a trucker. And then for some reason has to dress up like a woman in one scene. I don't remember the whole thing. So
he has to.
So stay tuned for Joyride 2 next week.
We have to dress in drag, Jay, and we have no choice.
Yeah. Oh, it's me, Candy Cane. Anyway, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Joyride 2.
I take your bra off.
Bye.